All right, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 30. Brethren, whenever the trial comes, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. When your hearts break and you're afraid, whenever you're opposed by enemies and by obstacles, when you don't see any way out, you don't see any way that it could turn to good, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Hearken to God's word rather than sinful flesh. That's what we're talking about by waiting on the Lord. Look to this word rather than to sinful flesh. Bear the suffering. Waiting on the Lord is bearing what you have to suffer rather than trying to run from it. Bear it. Look to wisdom himself rather than leaning to your own understanding. We just read Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Now the children of Judah in our text, they ran rather and waiting on the Lord. This is what this whole passage is about. God sent them a trial in the form of the Assyrian army, and they ran to Egypt looking for help. Back to Egypt, back to their former bondage, back to the place where they were under taskmasters. And anytime we do not wait on the Lord, and we seek a refuge for ourselves and ease for ourselves, we're running back to Egypt. Anytime we do that, we're running back to Egypt. We're running back to bondage. So now we're going to see how God dealt with them. Let's see how God dealt with them. Isaiah 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. But you said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall you flee. And we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of 5 shall you flee, till you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain. Margin says, as a tree bereft of its branches, or as a tree with all its branches broken off. He says, and as an ensign on a hill. You know, when a flag is on a hill, it's exposed, isn't it? You can see it. Everybody can see it. It's exposed. And he brings us to the point where we know we're exposed to God. Now listen, he says, and therefore will the Lord wait. They wouldn't wait. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed, happy are all they that wait for him. This passage is dear to me because Years ago, God sent a trial to me, and I ran rather than wait on God. And I tried to fix things myself. I tried to look too much to my own understanding and my own work of my own hands. And God used this passage to show me what I had done and what He had done for me. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit, a little later. I want to show you here, first of all, God's Word. And then I want to show you our Word. And then we'll see God's waiting. I've titled this, Impatient Sinners Waiting God. Now here's God's Word. Isaiah 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Now this is the word of the Lord God, the covenant-keeping God. This is the word of the Holy One of Israel. This is a word we can trust. This is a word we can believe right here. Now, he says to us, in returning and rest shall you be saved. Now, we find over in verse 1 what Israel had done. It says, they were rebellious children, saith the Lord. It says, they took counsel, but not of me. And they covered with a covering, but not of my spirit. That they may add sin to sin. You know, most of the time when we face trouble, sin is already involved. And by trying to fix it ourselves and not waiting on God, we add sin to sin. He said they walked to go down into Egypt. They've not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. But God is so gracious, He gives this word, and He says, in returning, come back to God. Instead of running away, return and rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord, and ye shall be saved. Now that's God's word. That's God's word. Return from Egypt and rest in Christ. Return from our wisdom and trust God's wisdom. Return from the works of our hands and trust the work of God's hand. Return and you shall be saved. Things might look bleak. Things may look like there's no possible way you could see how any good could come out of this. But in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. That means quietness means you remember the meek and quiet spirit. It's of great price to God. It means a submissive heart, a submissive spirit to God. With confidence in God. Quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Why? Because then God's my strength. Then Christ is my strength rather than me being my strength. So he's saying quietly obey God's word. You know, when we rebel and we take matters into our own hands, there's rarely a situation where we don't know that we're breaking God's word or rebelling against God's word, doing what God tells us not to do. We almost always know that. And he's saying here, be submissive to obey God. To obey God. Be confident that God's ruling everything that's happening. Is it upon you? Why is it upon you? Because God's ruling it. God brought it. Ultimately, you can look to all the second causes, but ultimately, God set this in your lap. quietly submit with confidence, knowing, have this confidence, that God, who spared not his only Son, but delivered him up for all his people, shall with his Son freely give me all things. Have that confidence in God no matter what the trial is. This is God's word. This is not a word of a man. This is not the word of me speaking. This is the word of the Lord. In returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall you find strength. Now, let's hear our word. Here's our word, verse 15. And ye would not. Ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee. And we will ride upon the swift. Now, to get a better understanding of this, we could sit here tonight, we could hear this, and we could think, well, they shouldn't have done that. Well, let's get a better understanding of this. You're in Jerusalem, and you look up on the hill, and from one end of that hill to the other side of that hill, on the horizon, is the Assyrian army. And your counselors, your generals, and your advisors, they tell you, you need to get these swiftest horses, and you need to ride to Egypt right now. Get the people out of here. Send an ambassador. Go down to Egypt and make a covenant with Egypt to come help us. That's what you need to do. And then you have this nobody named Isaiah who comes along claiming to be God's messenger. And he says, here's God's word. Thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. So what do? Put yourself in that place. What do? We've been in situations like this, maybe not that dramatic, in a smaller type situation, but it's the same principle. You're in some trouble that's come to you, and there is an easy way out. You see it. You see an easy way out of this. But you know it would be disobeying God to take that out. You know God has said this is not the way out. But it sure looks easy. And then on the other hand, there's a difficult, painful way. It's difficult. It's painful. You don't think there's any way you can do it. The fact is, you can't do it by yourself. It's to believe God and to quietly, meekly submit to God and trust God. So what do? Do you obey God and trust God in this difficult, painful waiting when you don't see any way you're going to be saved out of this? You have to just believe God's word? Or will you disobey God and take this clearly easy way that can ease you, and so your flesh won't have to suffer anymore if you just take this way? So what do? Well, the children of Judah said no. They heard God. They heard the messenger speak. They said no. Didn't say no to their generals. Didn't say no to their advisors. God said, you took counsel, all right, but not of me. No, they said no to God. Well, actually they said no to Isaiah. But by saying no to him, they said no to God. They said, we'll ride, we'll flee upon horses. We will ride upon the swift. Now this is our way. This is a sinner's way right here. This is the way that we choose if left to our sinful flesh. This is the way we will choose every time. Every time. We'll disobey God's word for our own understanding, leaning to our own understanding. We will trust our own hand to get us out of this. And we'll trust our will. But we won't trust God. But now, listen to what God said, Hosea 1:7. He said, I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. You know what that means? That means we can't be working. God said, I'm going to have mercy. That means you can't be sacrificing. You can't be working to get out from under it. I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord their God. And will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. In other words, God alone is going to do the saving. We're not going to be able to look anywhere else but Him. Waiting on God exalts Him. Waiting on God and trusting God gives Him all the glory. But you know what it is to go our way? You know what it is to lean to our understanding and to disobey God's word? God said it's to look and say, the work of our hands, ye are our gods. That's what He said in Hosea. It's to look at the works of our hands and say, ye are our gods. Now, if we're a child of God, then our way shall result in much pain and sorrow. This way we thought was going to be so easy. This way we thought was just going to clearly get us out of this and be so easy for us is going to result in a lot of pain and a lot of sorrow if we're God's child. God will let you go. You want to go? You want to flee? He said, you said no, we'll flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee. Jonah disobeyed God. He decided he's going to take a ship and get out of town. He wasn't going where God told him to go. God said, there's a ship. Take off. They said, we're going to flee on horses. God said, let me saddle them for you. But we're going to find the way of the transgressor to be hard. Because we cannot outrun God's trial. You can't outrun the trial. Listen to verse 16. He says, you said, we'll ride upon the swift. God said, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. The faster we run, the faster the trial will run after us. Can't outrun God. Can't outrun His trial. Without Christ, our strength, trying to run in our own strength and go in our own way, you know what's going to happen? We lose courage. We lose courage. We lose strength. It just wilts and fades away. Look what he says there in verse 17. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall you flee. Our enemies become mighty. Our obstacles become larger. The weights become heavier. And our strength becomes weaker. Why is that? Because Christ said, I'm your strength. Without me, you can do nothing. You know, you hear us preach this, and you hear Christ say, without me, you can do nothing. You hear Paul say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. If you want to test that, I don't suggest you do this, but if you want to test this, you try to do it opposite of what God says and do it on your own, and you'll find out you don't have any strength. That's what you'll find out. You don't have strength. And if we're God's, eventually we will be brought down. We will be brought down. Look at verse 17. He says, this will happen till you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, as an ensign on a hill. Margin, I like the margin best, as a tree with all its branches broken off. Like a mast. You see a mast with no sail on it, and it's just a pole. You're going to be left like that. In the end, we're going to find that going our own way, doing our own thing, contrary to God, was more painful and more troublesome than had we simply trusted God and bore the suffering waiting on God. We need to learn this. It's a valuable lesson to learn. Nothing appears, or nothing is as it appears. Nothing is as it appears to these natural eyes. Not when you're dealing with spiritual things. That way that looked easy, it'll be hard. That way that looked hard, God will soon make that way easy. Now let's look at God's waiting. Verse 18, therefore will the Lord wait. When the Lord's child refuses to wait, when we won't wait, God says, therefore will the Lord wait. This is God's long suffering. This is God suffering long with us. And what does that mean when he says, therefore the Lord will wait? Well, it's not some helpless wringing of the hands and just helplessly looking and watching and just hoping his child will come back to him. It's not that at all. The Lord's waiting is the Lord being long suffering. And Peter said, you can account that the long-suffering of God is salvation. We've seen this one place in the old world. The long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. But the Lord waited. He was long-suffering. All around, everybody deserved judgment. There was not a righteous man in that whole land. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it took him years and years and years and years to build that ark. And the Lord was long-suffering. He waited till it was finished. And he didn't make a drop of rain fall till everybody he told to be in that ark was in that ark. That's his waiting. That's his waiting. Remember Abraham, when he found out that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And he knew Lot was there. His nephew Lot was there. He said, Lord, if there are just 50 righteous men there, you won't destroy the righteous and the wicked together, will you? The Lord said, if there's 50 righteous men there, I won't destroy it. Abraham said, well, let me ask you again. What if there's just 40 righteous men there? The Lord said, nope. And on he went down to 10. What if there's just 10 righteous men there? The Lord said, I won't destroy it if there's 10 righteous men there. And the Lord waited till he pulled Lot out of Sodom. That righteous man. He brought him out before he destroyed it. The Lord waiting involves the Lord working all things together for the good of his elect according to his purpose. That's what the Lord's waiting is. He makes those that pursue you to be swift. You run and you scheme and you try to get away, and he makes those that pursue you to be swift. Removing our strength so that 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, that's the Lord waiting. Taking away all your strength and making sure you have none. Bringing us to the end of ourselves, till we're left like a tree with all its branches broken off. That's the Lord waiting. The Lord actively doing that to us. is the Lord's long-suffering. It's His long-suffering. Years ago, I told you I had come into a trial. Years ago, I was offended by some brethren. Now, this has never happened. It had never happened before then, and it's never happened since. But I was greatly offended at some brethren, some believers for whom Christ died. They had hurt me. They had greatly hurt me. And they were wrong in what they did. They would tell you today they were wrong in what they did. Because the Lord taught us all through this. But the way I handled it was terrible. The way I handled it was far worse than their offense. What I did was, I was determined. I was so bitter towards these brethren. I was determined I would not show them mercy. And I would not forgive them. Wasn't going to happen. Just was not going to happen. And I had some faithful friends that came along and they told me, Clay, you're just wrong. You're wrong. They kept pointing me to Christ and they kept telling me, listen, remember what a sinner you are. And remember how Christ has received you in mercy. Receive these brethren as Christ has received you in mercy. And they kept telling me that, and they kept telling me that. They kept praying for me, for God's mercy upon me. They told me, do it for Christ's glory. They said, these brethren are ones that Christ Himself came down and went to the cross for. These are brethren Christ laid down His life for. These are brethren Christ shed His blood for. They're complete in Christ. For Christ's sake, forgive them. Just like God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. They said, do it for the church's sake. They said, do it for the gospel's sake. We need the gospel. We need this gospel. We need to hear Christ preach. We can't see this thing dissolve and divide. We need Christ preach to us. And I was convinced that I was justified. I kept telling them and telling them and telling them how I'm justified. I'm just in what I'm doing. I was convinced I was. And with all my bitter envy and strife, I was even convinced that I was doing it for the glory of God. And I'll tell you what God did. For almost a year, God sent affliction after affliction after affliction. He brought me down, 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 down. And He kept doing it till at last I was like a tree with all my branches broken off. And then God directed me to this scripture right here and broke my heart. Here I was, I wouldn't show mercy to my brethren who had sinned against me far less than I'd sinned against them. And now here I was, sobbing, begging God to show me mercy. And God used this passage to show me what He did for me. Show me what He had done for me. Because you and I would not wait. Because I would not wait. Therefore will the Lord wait. That's what He was doing. He was waiting. That He may be gracious unto you. Therefore will He be exalted. That He may have mercy upon you. You notice there, if you read those sentences, therefore will the Lord wait. that he may be gracious unto you. Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. Waiting, God's waiting, and God being exalted are the same thing. He's going to exalt himself by waiting. That's what he's doing. And it's so that he might be able to have grace and mercy upon you. When someone transgresses against us and if we're left to our sinful flesh, we will suffer only so long. If he leaves us to our sinful flesh and somebody's offending us, we will suffer only so long. And then we want justice. We start crying for justice upon them. Well, God's going to remind his child that we sinned in Adam. And if God would have rained down justice right then, except for that covenant he had already made, God would have been just if you just look at the fact that we sinned against God. But what did he do? He waited. From Adam all the way till his son came into this world and went to the cross and put away the sin of his people. He waited. Why did he do that? That he might be gracious to you. That he might be exalted. That we might see God to be our Savior. That he might have mercy on you. The Lord Jesus Christ, we suffer a cross, and it's always a light cross. It's always a light affliction, whatever it is we suffer. That which I suffered that I thought was so terribly strong and hard, it was just light affliction. We suffer a light cross, and we just can't bear to suffer. We start looking for some way to get out from under it. We start seeking some vain refuge. And therefore, the Lord waited. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cursed cross with the shame and sinful shame of his sin of his people upon him and the curse upon him and the suffering that he bore hanging on that cross, waited until he had completely upheld God's law and justified his people of all our sin. Why did he do that? That he might be gracious to you. That he might be exalted, that he might have mercy on you. We came into this world and went estranged from our mother's womb, speaking lies, and were rebellious. And all we deserved from God was to be cast into hell because we earned it. We earned it. We rode upon the swift. We were without Christ, without God, didn't want God, didn't have a need for God. And was determined to have nothing to do with God. And therefore the Lord waited. Instead of giving us the hell we earned by our sin, he was long-suffering. He waited until he crossed our path with the gospel and regenerated us and brought us down to be like a tree with all our branches broke off. Why'd he do that? That he may be gracious. That he might be exalted. That he might have mercy on us. Christ Jesus came into this world. He had to be exalted on the cross so that he could be exalted in the gospel we preach, so that God would exalt him in our heart. That's why God waited. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God be exalted, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. And he said, and if I be lifted up, I'll draw all my people unto me. That's why he had to be exalted. That's why he waited. And right now, the only reason God has not destroyed this world is for the same reason he didn't destroy Sodom until he got Lot out. Because he has an elect remnant who Christ has justified, who God's been pleased to choose by his grace, who shall and must be regenerated because Christ justified them. And so the Lord waits that he might be gracious, that he might be exalted in their heart, that he might have mercy on them. He waits. And here's why the Lord waits. Here's exactly why he waits, verse 18. For the Lord is a God of judgment. He's a God of judgment. He's a God of discretion. Now, when you look at this great display of God's judgment, you see how that he waited and didn't destroy this world until his Son came into this world and laid down his life for us. You see how that Christ went to that cross and he did not come off of that cross. He waited until he put away all the sin of his people so that he could be gracious in a just way and be merciful in a just way. And you see how he dealt with you, how he waited all the years of your rebellion until he crossed your path with the gospel. When you see all that, just know, whatever this trial is you're in, God's a God of judgment. He's going to do what's right. He's going to do what's best. He's going to do it when it's best. He's going to do it how it's best. Because he's a God of judgment. He's a God of judgment. Now let me wrap this up. When we disobey God's word by impatiently running from the trial, we won't have any peace. You won't have any peace. Oh, God might let some sinners flee and find refuge in the world and find prosperity in the world and find happiness in the world. But he won't let his children do that. He won't let his elect do that. He won't let his blood-bought children do that. While we're doing that, God's going to see to it that we have nothing but strife and confusion and trouble in our heart. And that's all you have. When you're trying to justify yourself and you know you're wrong in your court of your conscience, you know you're wrong and you're trying to justify yourself before God and before men, that's hard work. It is. And there's no peace in that. There's no happiness in that. It's troubling. And God won't let his child find happiness in that. Where is happiness? Look at the end of verse 18. Blessed, happy are all they that wait for him. Somebody railed on you? Somebody said bad things to you? Say not thou, I will recompense evil. Don't say, I'm going to rail back. I'm going to recompense evil to them. But wait on the Lord, he shall save thee. You get tired serving the Lord and you think, I don't see any fruit coming from this. I'm tired of preaching the gospel. I'm tired of upholding the church building and giving my hard-earned money to the work. I'm tired of this stuff. The Lord's not seem to be doing anything. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Well, I'm tired. The Lord hadn't been back in over 2,000 years. He said he was coming back. You really think the Lord's coming back? Blessed, happy are those servants who the Lord, when he cometh, shall find waiting, watching. He'll come and gird himself and make them sit down to meat and come forth, and he will serve them. Whatever it is, whatever the trial, whatever it is that your conscience is, whatever it is, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. I'm preaching that to you so you can preach it to me. Wait on the Lord. Amen.